It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. All the podcasts of the shows are there, as well as our op-eds and our Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Oh, that's the Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast as well. We've got a great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with some of our candidates during this first and second segment. Jace McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, will be here at the bottom of the hour. And Randall O'Toole will be joining us regarding California. Governor Newsom is planning on banning gas-powered auto sales. And we're going to want to talk with Randall O'Toole about that. He is a transportation and urban planning expert. Lots going on. First of all, though, I want to give a shout-out to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Patty, Zach, Keith, and Charlie. And Steve, you had a little exercise program this morning.
Yeah. We've been here on the 12th floor of this building for 10 years, and we had this great view of looking west. And it's cool being on the 12th floor until the elevators don't work.
So you had to walk up 12 flights. It's 13, probably.
Yeah, it's probably 13 is more accurate.
Yeah, you weren't expecting that. So we normally have an early morning call as I'm headed into the studio, and I had not checked my phone. And you said that, you know, that the elevators weren't working. And I said, do I have to come up 12 flights of stairs? And actually, it's great. I have this rig. I turned around and I'm broadcasting from home right now. So anyway, I'm glad you got your exercise this morning, Steve.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and jump in here. A lot is going on. First of all, our salon series, Rick Turnquest and I will be presenting our voter's guide next Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. We'd love to have you join us. We're getting a lot of people have reached out and said they really appreciate the voter's guide. And in fact, many of them have already voted because our ballots came, or mine arrived on Saturday. Have you gotten yours yet, Steve?
Yes. And yesterday you made this point, and I want to pop in and ask you real quick. Did you notice anything unusual on the first page in, under presidents, on the extreme left side down the president row? The fact that there's 21 names there?
Oh, on the ballot. Yes, that was somewhat interesting.
Oh, I mean, it was fascinating. The number of names and then the affiliations was mind-boggling.
And Kanye West was on there. Did you
yes,
see that?
Yes, at the very bottom, Kanye West.
I saw that as well. Yes, so if you would like to get more information about Rick and my thinking on our recommendations regarding the issues on our voter's guide, join us. We'd love to have you, and that will be next Monday night. You can buy your tickets at kimmunson.com. People are asking me about judges, and I would recommend that you go to the DC GOP website. They've given a really thoughtful analysis on the judges. And even if you're not in the 18th Judicial District, it's very helpful. They do weigh in on one of the Supreme Court justices as well. And so I'd recommend you go to the DC GOP website, and then there's a judge tab. And I'd recommend that you do that. The I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour event that we're going to have, it's a fundraiser this Saturday from 2 to 4 at 88 Drive-In Theater. I talked to Reggie last night, and CBS National has reached out to them, and they want to send a team out, and we think that they're going to be at this particular event. So we would love to have you join us. We need to help these guys fund this bus to keep those bus wheels rolling, and we'd love to have you join us. It's going to be great fun this Saturday from 2 to 4. You can buy your tickets at kimmunson.com as well. And so anyway, we've got a lot going on, Steve. There's not quite enough hours in the day right now.
Absolutely true. And Larry Bragg just called in, and I'm telling him my story about all my exercise. So we're having some fun with this.
Okay. Let's see. There's a couple of, let me just, oh, I know. I wanted to get to our inspiration wisdom. This is one that you had found, Steve. And this is by Ayn Rand. She was a Russian-American writer and philosopher. She's known for her two best-selling novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, and for developing a philosophical system she named Objectivism. She was born and educated in Russia. She moved to the United States, and she was born in 1905. She died in 1982. And she said this. She said, "Capitalism is the only system in history where wealth was not acquired by looting, but by production. Not by force, but by trade. The only system that stood for man's right to his own mind, to his work, to his life, to his happiness, and to himself." Very powerful. Thanks for sharing that with me, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll probably close the show with another quote of hers that's going to be equally poignant.
Yes. Yeah, yes, most definitely. Wanted to just, I think that that actually is a segue into one of the headlines that Patty had pulled. And this is from the Epoch Times, and it says a World Health Organization official urges to halt the lockdowns as the primary CCP virus control method. And what they've said is a special envoy on the COVID-19, and they said stop doing this. And they're calling it the CCP virus, which is the Chinese Communist Party virus. And it says, we in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as the primary means of control of this virus, David Navarro told The Spectator in an interview that aired on October 8th. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers, but by and large, we'd rather not do it. He pointed out to the collateral damage that lockdowns are having worldwide, especially among the poorer nations. He said, just look at what's happening to the tourism industry. For example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Look what's happening to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have gotten dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have doubled world poverty by next year. Seems that we may be doubling child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents and poor families are not able to afford it. The declaration at the end states the most compassionate approach that balances the risks and benefits of reaching herd immunity is to allow those who are at minimal risk of death to live their lives normally, to build up immunity to the virus through natural infection while better protecting those who are at higher risk. This is very powerful, Steve.
It is, and I was glad to see it. But at the same time, it just seemed to be another one of those kind of reversals. And all through this, the last 7 or 8 months now, however long we've been enduring, the flow of information and these reversals just seems to be causing so much damage in terms of believability and credibility. I don't know. Is it just me? Have we actually saw that name before, the CCP virus?
I don't think I have seen that. I've been calling it the COVID-19 Wuhan virus,
Yeah. But
the CCP virus, particularly from somebody coming from the World Health Organization, most curious. Let's keep an eye on that, Steve.
Yeah.
Let's jump over here to Larry Bragg. He is a candidate for Colorado House. And let's see, what district is that, Larry?
House District 9, Kim.
Okay, and what is that area, Larry? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. House District 9 is in southeast Denver, from Bellevue going up to Mississippi to the north, Parker Road to the east, and Colorado Boulevard to the west.
I've actually seen your yard signs, which I love seeing that. How's things going as far as what are you hearing from your constituents?
Well, I'm hearing a lot. And in regard to the yard signs, I just had news a couple of them were stolen the other day. So that's a good thing. That's not that they're
that
stolen, but yeah. You know, it's a kind of a twisted humor that they're I'm being noticed enough for my yard signs to be gone. But
that's good.
The campaign is gaining traction. I'm very happy with the campaign. Being new to it, you know, not knowing really what to expect, but it's gaining traction, and I'm very hopeful for the outcome. I think it's crucial that we change the seats in the House and the Senate in Colorado legislature.
Most definitely. Now, in our voters guide that Rick Turnquist and I put together, we noted that there's 17, we're calling them the cruel 17. There's 17 House Democrats here in Colorado that voted to let people die alone. Your opponent is one of them. And I think that we're calling you the compassionate 17, those that are running against them. And we not only need to make a change down at the State House, but people that would actually vote to let people die alone during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, we need to vote them out of office.
Well, I agree, and I have a theory on that. And I think that, you know, most people that I listen to knocking on doors, they have some concerns about why the two sides, the Republican and the Democrats, aren't talking anymore, why they aren't working together anymore. My theory is this, that socialism and communism doesn't like either one of the two parties and refuses to let them work together for the benefit of the people. So you have a bill that is compassionate, and it makes sense to the Senate. Everybody in the Senate voted to pass it through unanimous. And in the House, where we have seated socialists that could care less, really, that it's a good bill brought forward by a Republican, for instance, that even though it makes good sense for us out in the street and in our everyday lives, that they refuse to let a good bill go through because it makes sense and it would add value to our lives. They're going to try to tear that down. So that's my theory on it, and I believe in that wholeheartedly, that the two sides can't talk together because the socialists among the Democratic side won't let them. And that's to the detriment of us.
Well, it really is. You know, your moderate Democrats have no place in this Democrat Party. And the Democrats that are controlling the Senate, the House, and the governorship really are being pulled so far to the left. And, you know, they talk about wanting to, you know, they want a new government programs to help people, right? But yet right. When it really comes to this kind of a bill that is so compassionate, the true colors, we see what they're really all about. The veil is off, the mask is off on who they really are, Larry Bragg.
Yes, my opponent, Emily Sirota, talks on Twitter about forcing her Democratic colleagues to be more progressive. And I wonder what that means really to them, that, you know, forcing them through the cancel culture or, you know, some other means. And I know that they're being pulled so far to the left that it's unavoidable for them to save face at some point, that they just have to call a stop to it. And at that point, you know, the party's fighting amongst themselves and they don't want to be seen mm-hmm. to do that.
Right. And we talk about this all the time on the show, Larry, and that is free. We're in a big battle right now. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Larry Bragg, I am recommending these next 3 weeks that people adopt a candidate, help them walk neighborhoods, write thank you notes, whatever it is. Be sure and step up and help one of these candidates. I know you're adoptable. How can people help you, Larry Bragg?
They can find my website. It's Bragg for Safety, F-O-R, BraggForSafety.com. And I'd just like to mention a GoFundMe page for Tim Keltner that was shot the other day at Civic Center Park. I was there, and I didn't see that part of it, but having experienced the July 19th kickout at Civic Center Park and then what happened on Saturday, you know, we are in the middle of something very serious that's happening to our state and our country. And it's, I can't stress that enough, that when people go to vote, you know, they have a clear choice to make, that, you know, if we don't make changes now, it's going to be extremely difficult in the coming years to change things. So thank you for your support, Kim.
You bet. And that is Bragg, BRAIGFORSafety.com. Larry, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout-out to Hooters Restaurants. They are one of my great partners. They're one of the reasons that we are on the air. And they have 5 locations here in the metro area, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Hooters Restaurants is actually raising money. Last year, through their company. They're hoping to raise $1 million. Last year, they raised $700,000. And this year, Hooters is working to help them by you can purchase a pink drink. You can donate to a pink color change cup. You can fill out an endowment card. You can round your change up. Or you can buy some pink-themed merchandise. For more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Roger Edwards. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
The silent odorless killer, CO2. Your house has a monitor. Does your mask? Masks can actually be pretty dangerous, according to the National Institutes of Health. They say that inhaling high levels of carbon dioxide, CO2, may be life-threatening. OSHA does not recommend masks in oxygen-deprived environments, specifically elevations over 3,000 vertical feet. The mask mandate is not for your health. It's killing you one breath at a time, thanks to selfish Governor Polis, paid for by FECUnited.com.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
And on the line with me is Richard Champion. Richard Champion, you are a candidate for House District 38 here in Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Kim. I appreciate that. I sure am. I took over for Susan Beckman in February.
Okay. So you filled her seat. Okay. What is that area? What area does that cover, Richard?
Well, my House District 38 covers Littleton, Western Centennial, Columbine Valley, and Bomar. That's generally where it is. There's a little tiny piece of Evergreen or Englewood there.
Englewood?
But most of it is Littleton, Western Centennial, Columbine Valley, and Bomar.
Richard, what are you hearing out on the campaign trail? What are your constituents concerned with?
They're concerned with safety and security. They are very concerned about COVID-19, but they also want the state to be opened up, and they wonder why we're not opened up. They believe in individual responsibility and taking care of themselves, and I hear that a lot. I'm sad that we haven't figured out what are the metrics that are being used by our governor to shut us down, and more importantly, what are the metrics that are going to be used to open us back up? What hurdles must we achieve to open this this state back up? And that's really one of the things that I hear a lot of. They're very concerned. Pardon?
Well, and Richard, the fact that we actually now have therapeutics, you know, when this first started, I think a couple of weeks of taking a pause probably was prudent till we figured out what was happening as this virus was coming to our shores. But now we have therapeutics where people, even if they get it, they can be treated, and you know, most of the time they recover. And so I understand what you're saying. People are wondering, what's the metrics? What is the thinking to keep us shut down? And I was talking with a neighbor of mine who has a small business, and you know, he's trying to figure it out as well.
Well, small business has just gotten hammered with this, and they can't plan forward. That's the thing that is so scary, is if you don't know what the metrics are being used to open us back up, you cannot plan for the future. And that lands right on the governor's lap.
Okay. And what is your website, Richard? I am recommending that people adopt a candidate from now till Election Day. We can't be sitting on our couches and having somebody else out there, you know, throwing their name in the hat in the ring to run for office. We need to help each of you candidates. I know you're very adoptable. How can people get more information about you, Richard?
Well, please check me out at www.champion4forcolorado. We've got a pretty good website, and you'll see that my granddaughter will steal the show, I can assure you of that.
Okay, well, Richard Champion, let's stay in touch. And again, that is Champion for Colorado, and Champion 4 is spelled out, colorado.com. What would your last thought be that you'd like to leave with our listeners, Richard?
Well, Colorado needs a champion, and I'd sure like to be that champion, and I sure appreciate the opportunity to be there.
Okay, Richard, we'll stay in touch.
Thank you.
Okay, and another candidate, again, a very important race, and sometimes it's kind of under the radar. They call it a nonpartisan race, but I don't understand why they do that on these local races, because I think it just mixes people up. But that is the RTD district directors. RTD has a huge budget, and Roger Edwards has thrown his hat in the ring there. Roger Edwards, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How big is that budget for RTD? I mean, it is a lot, isn't it?
It's very large. I think I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I think it's close to $1 billion when they're operating normally.
And why is this race so important, Roger?
Well, public transportation is a valuable asset for the community, and with the circumstances that are going on right now with the virus and the decline in ridership, RTD is at a risk of becoming a ward of the state legislature. And I think if that happens, it's going to be a bad result for everybody.
Well, and I could see the state legislature wanting to get their hands on that taxing authority of RTD and $1 billion there. I could see them just, really wanting to get their hands on that. So what do you bring to the board? How are you going to help solve the problems that RTD has?
Well, I have a career in logistics, and I also have experience with the modern methods of management, including Six Sigma and continuous quality improvement. RTD they sent out a packet to all of their candidates, a briefing packet. In that packet, they listed the organization. There's 72 pages of organizational charts for RTD. And if you know anything about bureaucracy and management and organizations, in the organization, the tendency is for each silo of management, whether it be a maintenance effort, a sales effort, or whatever it is, to protect their own turf, their own territory.
Sure.
And we need to
even if it's redundant.
Sure. And most a lot of what that is exactly that, redundant. And those silos protect their own turf, their own territory. And when you implement modern methods of management, especially like Six Sigma, you harmonize the management toward the effort of achieving the goal of the mission of the company or the organization. And that's what RTD desperately needs that. I mean, this is a very volatile season, a very volatile time for us to be living in right now when you don't know whether you're going to be open or not. I went down to the Littleton light rail station yesterday, and it was virtually empty. This is about at 10:30 in the morning, when all of those commuters who were going into the city should have been on the train and up there. And I've been there at that time before in the past, and there have been so many cars that you've had to go across the street and use the overflow parking. Not now. I mean, RTD says they've lost 40% of their ridership. I just as anecdotal evidence, I'd looking at the Mineral Light Rail station, I'd say they've lost 80% of their ridership. Okay. This is devastating.
Well, it looks like I know that they're doing a 2-year program on Reimagine RTD. You mentioned the last time we talked that 2 years is probably too long. Things need to be assessed right now. How can people adopt you, Roger Edwards? I've seen your signs out there as well. What is your website?
My website is representthedistrict.com.
Okay.
And I also have a Facebook page of Roger Edwards for RTD District H.
Okay. Well, Roger, keep us informed on what is happening there in that race. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Did you hear at the very beginning of the hour that Steve had to walk 12 stories to get up to the studio because the elevators weren't working?
Well, how soon will he be up in the studio, and who's running it now?
Hardy har, har, har.
You have to get up pretty early in the morning to get one past you, Jason McBride. Hey, what happened in the market yesterday?
You know, yesterday was actually a pretty darn strong day in the market, Kim. The NASDAQ kind of led the dance. It was up 296 points, which was 2.5%. Pretty good punch in the volume as well. And hard to believe after, you know, everything that's happened, but the NASDAQ is now only about, maybe 1.5% off of its all-time high. The other indexes also had good days. Dow was up 250. That's also very close to the all-time high, the S&P as well. The small caps are still lagging a little bit. They've still got a ways to go to get back up there, but they were lagging a bit before all of this stuff started. So we'll see what happens. The futures this morning are showing the Dow down about 140. Maybe that's just a little bit of profit taking because I didn't see any news that would be considered negative. But again, with everything that's gone on and all the crazy stuff that's still going on, you look and it's just amazing that the markets have held up as well as they have.
You know, it really is. And normally the markets look into the future. There's a lot of emotion in it. But I got to think that it seems it's saying positive things for Trump, because the market is not going to like the Biden-Harris or the Harris-Biden ticket because of the increase in taxes. So I find this very fascinating. Speaking of that, this analysis that you've done, I know that a lot of people are going to our mutual landing page, airpresidential.com, to download this analysis that you did on the Trump tax cuts. Because as we're out there talking with people, it's not just the millionaires and billionaires that received some relief on those tax cuts. It was everyday hardworking people, Jason McBride.
Yep, there's no doubt about it, Kim. As we discussed yesterday, there's some things that are, you know, it's a little hard to prove. It's about how you feel. This is certainly just numbers, and it's absolutely provable that the Trump tax cuts gave the middle class a much, much larger tax cut percentage-wise than it did the millionaires and billionaires, some of whom are actually paying more at this point. But the percentages and the dollar amounts are pretty amazing. This has been a boon for the middle American family, and I would hate to see it go away, because it is going to hurt our middle class, it's going to hurt our lower earners, and it's going to even hurt the upper middle class. So everybody that is supposedly getting a raw deal from this will actually get a very raw deal if the Trump tax cuts get repealed.
Well, and Harris-Biden are promising to increase taxes, to repeal this, and then increase taxes. And I don't think everyday hardworking people would benefit from that. Jason McBride, I highly recommend that people check this out, airpresidential.com. That's airpresidential.com. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Randall O'Toole. He is a transportation and urban planning expert. He's with the Cato Institute. We're going to talk about Governor Newsom from California. He said that they're planning on banning all gas-powered auto sales soon in California, and we want to find out what Randall O'Toole thinks about that.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. We'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. A couple of events there at KimMunson.com. We're going to be having a great event with the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour this Saturday at 88 Drive-In Theater. You can buy your tickets at KimMunson.com, as well as next Monday night, Rick Turnquest and I created a voter's guide, which is at my website. And we will be doing an event, a Salon Series Voter's Guide event at Water's Edge Winery, and you can buy your tickets there as well. I am thrilled to have on the line with me Randall O'Toole. He's an expert in transportation and urban planning, and it's just great to have you on the show again, Randall O'Toole.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I wanted to talk with you, Randall, about Governor Newsom in California says that they're planning on banning gas-powered auto sales. And it looks like it could be great for Elon Musk, but probably won't help the environment. What's your thoughts about this, Randall O'Toole?
Well, the first important thing is that this is an aspirational goal. It isn't an actual ban. His goal is by the year 2035 that all new car sales in California will be zero emission vehicles, which probably means electric vehicles. And there's a lot of things that can happen between now and 2035. There's going to be several intervening governors. The federal government has to approve this goal, so there could be going to be several intervening presidential administrations. There could be new technologies that make petroleum-powered vehicles zero-emission vehicles. And as an aspirational goal, he's also got some careful wording in it. He says it has to be consistent with technological feasibility and cost effectiveness. So if Elon Musk can't make electric cars cost effective compared to petroleum-powered cars, then it's not even going to happen. So that's one thing to look, one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that transportation uses as much energy as all of our electrical system combined. So if we make all transportation electrically powered, that means we have to double our electrical system. And California already is suffering rolling blackouts because their electrical system can't keep up with the demand, even with so few cars being electric in California. Just a regular electrical system can't keep up with the demand for regular electric power. So if California makes all vehicles or all new vehicles electric power, that's going to put increasing demands on their electrical system. If they can't make it, it's just going to fail. So that's going to be another technological problem they're going to have to deal with. And you can't just executive order those problems away.
Okay, Randall O'Toole, yesterday I had Bob Boswell on with Laramie Energy. And out here in Colorado, kind of under the radar within the last month or so, there's been new rulemaking regarding setbacks for oil and gas development. And it's accomplishing through rulemaking what the voters really voted down in the last or couple of years ago. And so here, I can't quite understand what is going to happen when we have, because Colorado, Governor Polis, this legislature seems like they want to be California wannabes. And you know, you don't just turn the switch on oil and gas development on and off. People have to make decisions regarding capital and personnel and all. So we see this policy that is making it more and more difficult for oil and gas development, and yet policy also pushing us towards more electric usage, but yet, and that's somewhat dependable on fossil fuels as well. It looks to me like this is very irresponsible governance. What do you think about this?
Well, actually, Newsom asked the California legislature to ban fracking in California. And that, to me, is more worrisome than a proposal to ban, in 15 years, the sale of new petroleum-powered vehicles. Because if you ban fracking now, you have immediate impacts on the economy, immediate impacts on our power system. And Colorado, of course, is even more dependent on petroleum than California. California, Oregon, and Washington get most of their electric power from hydroelectric dams and other non-petroleum sources. Colorado gets most of its electric power from petroleum, from burning gas, natural gas, and coal and other fossil fuels. So if you say, well, we're going to power more vehicles in Colorado by electricity, all you're saying is that we're going to burn the fossil fuels at some other point. We're going to burn them at the power plant rather than in the motor vehicle. You're not saving any greenhouse gas emissions. If you say we're going to ban fracking or we're going to limit the amount of hydraulic fracturing to get oil and gas, then you're going to make it more expensive to make that electricity that's providing power to people in Colorado. You're going to have serious economic impacts there. Really, this is almost a religious issue. You know, it's like if you believe it's immoral to eat meat, should you advocate that nobody else be allowed to eat meat? Well, here's people who believe it's immoral to burn oil and gas, not because they actually have any data to prove that there's anything wrong with it, but it's just a religious belief for them. So they want to make it illegal for everybody else to use oil and gas. And if it's just a matter of religion, then I don't think they should be able to do that.
That is so interesting that you would bring that point up regarding religion, which goes over to the Constitution, where it's the Establishment Clause basically says that government shall not establish a religion. And I'd actually, Justice Scalia, before his death, had been out here in Colorado, and I was at an event where we could ask questions. And I asked him this question, that if, in fact, government is to establish no religion, but yet those adherence to climate change, it seems like it's becoming a religion, and that they're using government policy to push for that religion. Is that not unconstitutional? Now, he actually, his response to me was cute. And I was talking to an attorney, said, well, typically, Justice Scalia, you know, if he thinks it's, you know, not, you know, real harebrained idea, he would have said so. And so it's so interesting that this morning you would bring that up, Randall O'Toole. What's your comment? I mean, expound on that a bit.
Well, you know, technically, it's really hard to call climate change advocates as part of a religion. But you look at their behavior and you look at their activities, and it really seems like a religion. You know, when I was in high school, there were evangelistic students in my high school, and they would tell me that, oh, we see all the earthquakes happening. We see all the hurricanes happening. These are all signs of the coming apocalypse. And I'd look at the records, and, of course, there were no more earthquakes in when I was in high school than when my parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were in high school. So there were really no signs of the apocalypse. So it was just better news gathering. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. You know, there were some wildfires in California and Oregon and Washington. And so the governor of Oregon says, oh, this proves there's global warming, and so therefore we have to cut back on greenhouse gas emissions. Well, I've looked at the records for wildfire pretty carefully for the past 100 years, and there are other people who have looked at the records for the past 2,000 years. There are records in the soil of wildfire, and they can't find any evidence that the wildfires are increasing. In fact, there's less wildfire today than there was 200 years ago. So the arguments of the people who believe in climate change are exactly the same as the arguments of the people who believe in evangelistic Christianity. And, you know, it was fine for me to have some nice discussions with evangelistic Christians because I knew they weren't going to be able to force me to do anything if I didn't accept their beliefs. But the climate change people not only want to legally force us to do things, they use all kinds of what I would call fascistic behaviors to drown out anybody who disagrees with them, calling them deniers and things like that.
Fascinating. I dreamed that our conversation this morning, Randall, would be headed this way, but very, very fascinating. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I'm talking with Randall O'Toole, and his website is ti.org. He is the anti-planner, and one of your most recent op-ed that you have there is new transit lines won't relieve congestion. And of course, we talk a lot about what's happening here in Colorado with RTD. I just had a candidate on earlier in the show regarding RTD. And so let's talk a bit about that when we come back. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Randall O'Toole. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another one of my great sponsors. They're another one of the reasons why you get to hear us on the air. I would have you check them out. It's castlegate.com. Knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They're functional, they're durable, and they're versatile. And Castlegate Knife and Tool has knives from some of the best blade makers throughout the world. If you're a sportsman, in the military, a collector, or just everyday kitchen knives, they are the place to check out. So go to castlegate.com for more information. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back with Randall O'Toole.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N kimmunsell.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at my website. And we've got a couple of events going on this Saturday. The I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour will have their 45-foot bus out at 88 Drive-In Theater. You can get your picture taken with the bus and the guys, and you can tour the bus. You can buy your tickets at kimmunson.com. And also our event, our Voters Guide Salon event at Water's Edge Winery, Rick Turnquest and I will be presenting our Voters Guide, which you can find at my website as well. And you can buy your tickets there. And that's going to be next Monday night. Randall O'Toole, you have a real fan in producer Steve. During the break, he's like, I love that guy. And it is always so interesting. And you're on the West Coast. You are up very early to do this show. I so appreciate because you bring so much to the show when you're on. Let's talk a bit about this, your most recent piece at the Antiplanner. And you said voters in Austin and Portland will be asked to increase local taxes to pay for rail transit this November. You said less than 8% of Portland area workers and just 2.3% of Austin workers take transit to work. What's your thoughts on this, Randall?
Well, you know, this also ties into California because California recently is spending $2 billion electrifying the commuter trains that operate between San Jose and San Francisco. These were previously diesel-powered trains, just like Amtrak trains and lots of other trains, but they decided they had to have electrified trains. So they're spending $2 billion, and now they announced that after spending the $2 billion, the operating costs for the trains are going to go up. Electric trains cost more to operate than diesel-powered trains. And meanwhile, because of the pandemic, ridership on the trains is down 96%. And it's not clear that anybody's going to come back because a whole lot of those people are going to continue working at home long after the pandemic is over because Silicon Valley people are just discovering, hey, they can be more productive working at home than they can working in an office. So we're spending all this money on essentially a piece of fixed infrastructure that can't be moved and can't respond to changing traffic patterns or transportation patterns, and it's all going down the drain. The same thing is true with fast tracks in Denver. The same thing is true with light rail in Portland and with rail transit everywhere. It isn't responsive to changes, whereas we have 4 million miles of roads in this country. If traffic patterns change, you know, they can just use different roads. And occasionally we might need to build some new roads. But the great thing about roads is they can move trucks, they can move buses, they can move pickup trucks, they can move SUVs, they can move cars, they can move bicycles, pedestrians can walk on them. They're open to all kinds of vehicles. Waymo, the Google driverless car initiative, now has driverless cars in taxi service, regular taxi service. Anybody can call up and have one come to their door in Phoenix and take them to different parts of Phoenix. So, and they can use the same roads as everybody else. And if you have a technology that is flexible and can adapt to all kinds of new systems like highways, I call highways dumb infrastructure because the smartness is in the vehicles, not in the highway. Whereas transit, rail transit, is smart infrastructure, which sounds good, except what it means is that you can't use it for anything except for the thing that you've decided to use it for. It'd be like if your computer could only do a web browser, but it couldn't do word processing, it couldn't do data processing, or anything like that except for on the web. And, you know, that would be a smart infrastructure. You'd be relying on your infrastructure to get anything done, but maybe you lose contact with the web. Maybe you don't have the internet for a few minutes or for a few hours. Then your computer is worthless. It does nothing. So we want dumb infrastructure for our transportation systems, not smart infrastructure. And the problem with transit is that too much of it depends on smart infrastructure, not dumb infrastructure.
Well, I actually think it's dumb planners that would be forcing us to get over to quote-unquote smart infrastructure. Talking about California electrifying these trains, and yet they're having rolling blackouts, that means that people's freedom of mobility is going to become more and more limited. Because if you have to rely on electrified trains to get where you want to go, and they're having rolling blackouts, it doesn't seem like that makes much sense to me, Randall O'Toole.
No, but it all comes down to the aspirational idea that, you know, we're going to design a society that upper middle class people would want to live in and screw everybody else. And that's really what's going on, is that the urban planners are upper middle class. They all went to college. They all earn fat salaries, and they think everybody's like them, and they think everybody wants to live the way that they think they should live. Although it turns out many urban planners don't live that way. They live in big suburban homes and drive cars to work, but they think everybody else should want to live in dense inner-city housing and take transit to work. And so they design cities for that aspiration rather than for the way people actually will live and the way people actually will travel.
Now, people are starting to vote with their feet. San Francisco, I used to love to go to San Francisco, and I probably won't return there for a while. But I was talking with someone that lived in downtown San Francisco. And with the pandemic, people are moving out of there. San Francisco is in decline at this particular point in time. And she said, actually, her lease is going to be up on her apartment, and she's going to be able to get a two-bedroom or maybe even a three-bedroom apartment in San Francisco for what she was paying for a one-bedroom in San Francisco. Your comments on that, Randall O'Toole?
Well, some of our biggest cities, including New York and San Francisco and several others, have actually been declining in population since about 2017 or 18. So the pandemic hasn't changed things. It's merely accelerated a trend that already existed. And that seems to be what happens during pandemics. They don't change anything. They merely accelerate existing trends. One of those existing trends was declining transit ridership. Transit ridership nationwide has been declining since 2014 or 15. And, of course, the pandemic has driven transit ridership down by 65% in August, the most recent month we have data available. Meanwhile, we're driving at 90% of what we were driving last year. So driving is continuing to grow, and it's the resilient form of transportation, whereas transit is dying. It's the non-resilient form of transportation, and the idea that we should throw billions of dollars into it the way people in Austin, Texas want to do, or the way that they're doing with Caltrains, or the way that Fast Tracks, you know, Longmont wants to spend another couple billion dollars building a rail line to Longmont, even though we've proven in Colorado that bus rapid transit works better than trains. So people want to do it almost for the ego gratification rather than for any sensible transportation benefits.
Well, and freedom of mobility, freedom of transportation to be able to go where you want to, when you want to, is inherent for a free society. We only have a couple of minutes. Randall O'Toole, I wanted to ask you this. It's with RTD in decline here in Colorado, but yet it has a taxing authority. You could see that the legislature would like to get their hands on it. Of course, this legislature is doing such a great job. What's your comments on that quickly?
Well, the sad thing is that the transit industry has convinced people that transit is green, when in fact cars are greener than transit. It's convinced people that transit is essential to help poor people get to work, when in fact cars help poor people get out of poverty. They don't just help them get to work, they help them get out of poverty, whereas transit really doesn't help poor people get that many poor people to get to work in the first place. Less than 5% of low-income, of people under the poverty line, take transit to work. So they've convinced people that transit is more moral, and so even though transit ridership has gone down so much, they're still getting Congress and state legislatures and taxpayers to vote for spending more money to subsidize transit, even though nobody's riding it. that to me is something we need to turn around. We need to convince people that maybe we should stop spending money on an obsolete form of transportation that is brown and that doesn't help poor people.
Well, Randall O'Toole, thank you so much. How can people get more information about you?
Well, as you say, TI.org. I publish a daily blog and then a weekly four-page policy brief that talks about all these issues, everything from wildfire to urban housing to fish and wildlife to all kinds of different things. And these policy briefs, I think, are encapsulate in just a few pages some of the major issues that urban people have to deal with every day.
And knowledge is power, and I would highly recommend that you read Randall O'Toole's policy pieces because it'll really help get your brain around these issues so you can converse with your friends and your family and your colleagues. And that is at TI.org, right? TI.org?
That's right, TI for Thoreau Institute. Of course, you can also look me up on the Cato Institute. I've got a lot of papers there. But the stuff that I'm writing every single day appears on at TI.org, called the Anti-Planner.
Okay, Randall O'Toole, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And our quote for today is by Ayn Rand. She said, "There is no difference between communism and socialism except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote." And think about that as we're filling out our ballots, my friends. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.